Lesson number five, the tongue. The tongue is a muscular organ within the mouth, which aids the body in digesting food, enjoying flavors, and most importantly, speaking. Or, without a tongue, each of 6,500 human languages would be reduced to a muddle of hollow, unintelligible sounds. But thanks to the tongue, we can express ourselves with the ease and efficiency that speech affords. No other body part is as essential to clear communication as the tongue is. No other body part can affect people on as broad a scale as the tongue can. No other body part reveals your true character like your tongue does. The way a person talks and the words they choose to use speaks volumes about who they really are. Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that you are a great communicator, that you speak to men and to women everywhere and always have. You are one who conveys information through words, and you've left us with your word. You speak to us great promises and warnings and comfort and encouragement when we need it. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning, knowing that you never speak a false word. You never, Lord, speak a careless word. You never speak an unclear word. Even now, this morning, as you speak to us, we pray that you would communicate clearly what it is that we need to hear. With that in mind, Lord, I pray that we would be quick to hear and slow to speak. Amen. We've all heard words that we'll never forget, most likely. If you sit to think about it for any length of time, you'll remember some of these words. Some of the words that you've heard that are unforgettable are rather life-changing, character-shaping. I'll never forget the time I heard my wife say yes. Changed my life. She said yes. And many of us have similar stories. We've heard words that were perhaps life-saving. If you've ever heard the gospel before, you know that that saved your soul if you were a believer in what was said. Some words that we've heard are heart-stopping. You get bad news. The bottom drops out of everything. Some of the words that you've heard and can't forget were uplifting. That's how words work. Some of them build up. Other kinds of things tear down. Some words heal. Some words hurt. But in each of our lives, I'm guessing that this morning we have people that have said things to us that have shaped our lives, shaped our character, maybe even shaped our destiny in one way, shape, or form. And we're aware of that. But let me ask you a question this morning. Are we aware of the fact that our lives are shaped not just by what people have said to us, but by what we have said to other people? That the words you speak not only have the capacity to shape them to whom you speak, but actually can shape you as you say them. Your overall health is just as affected by what you speak as it is by what you hear. Pay close attention to what the Apostle Peter said in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "Whoever desires to love life and see good days should keep his tongue from speaking evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Peter here is saying, hey, if you want to live a good life, be careful of what you say. He doesn't say, if you want to live a good life and see good days, be careful of what you hear. He's saying, be careful of what you speak. So what Peter's singing here is that the quality of your life is affected by what you say to others, not necessarily what others say or have said to you. And I'm not trying to minimize the damage that can be done through verbal abuse, the profound effect that it can have on a person, because I know that there is a real detrimental effect to those that have suffered verbal abuse in their life. I'm not trying to minimize that. What I am trying to stress is the idea that God can protect you if you're a victim. He can protect you from the effect of verbal abuse in a way that he doesn't promise to protect you once you become the one doing the abusing verbally. That can do untold damage to the speaker, to the one who abuses others with harsh words, untruth, deceit. Jesus said it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you, not what goes into your ears necessarily. We need to be careful this morning because the Bible is ever so clear that the words we enunciate with our tongue can, one, stab people like a sword, according to Proverbs 12, verse 18. The words we use can club people to death, Proverbs 25, verse 18. And the words we speak can effortlessly crush an individual's spirit, Proverbs 15, verse 4. And last time I checked, crushing, clubbing, and stabbing people are crimes. Whether you do it with a sword and a club or words, you know, really makes no difference. But these are crimes that God will judge you for. Jesus said, on judgment day, people will give account for every careless word they speak. The words that you say will either acquit you or condemn you. I think that's what Solomon meant when he said that a person could be destroyed by their own words. We always think, well, I can destroy somebody with my words. Did you know that you could be destroyed by your own words? So what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 10:12, he also said, a fool's lips are a snare to his soul. Now that speaks of the eternal effects of careless speech. The way that you talk can destroy your own soul, which is why, probably, Solomon also warned us in Proverbs 10:19, too much talk leads to sin, he says. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Sometimes the safest thing you can do for yourself is to just be quiet. As soon as you begin speaking, you put yourself in a precarious situation. Solomon believed in censorship. You can read all through the book of Proverbs and find plenty of that in Ecclesiastes as well, where he's telling us to censor ourselves. And I say that in a culture that I'm well aware of the fact we cherish free speech here. And I don't know why we do. It tends to get us in trouble. Bible says it does. We've probably experienced the trouble that it can get us into from time to time. I don't know why we still enjoy free speech so much. Maybe it's because we believe that it gives us the right to say whatever we want, whenever we want, to whoever we want, without any consequences. But that isn't true. You can't speak and expect to exempt yourself from any consequences of careless speech. God never gave his people such rights. He didn't give you and I free speech, and he certainly never promised to protect us from the repercussions of speaking carelessly like we sometimes do. The secular world or American culture might give you the clearance to talk however you want, but God never did that. He sees the bigger picture and can know the dangers associated with it, and so he would never jeopardize your safety by giving you free speech. That's why the Bible is filled with commands about editing our own language. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Apostle Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. That's self-censorship. You're to determine whether what comes out of your mouth is corrupting or not, and to censor yourself if you have that tendency. Let no corrupt speech come out of your mouth, but only what's good for building up other people, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. He said in the next chapter, you shouldn't use obscenity, false talk, or crude joking. It's out of character, self-censorship. But rather, thanksgiving, gratitude, the verbal expressions of thankfulness. To the Colossian church in chapter 3, verse 8, Paul wrote, you must rid yourself of filthy language, self-censorship. Also in the book of Ephesians, he says, stop telling lies. That's censorship. Start telling the truth. Peter wrote in his first letter, chapter 2, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, and unkind speech. Again, censorship. Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, your conversation should be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. So we see in the Old Testament, Solomon believed in censorship. We see here in the New Testament, Paul believed in censorship. Peter believed in censorship. God himself believes in censorship. And the reason is because it serves as a protective measure against the untold damage that we can do to ourselves, not to mention other people, with our tongue alone. In the book of James chapter 3, the half-brother of Jesus writes, of all the parts of the body, the tongue is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire because it's set on fire by hell itself. There is no other body part that belongs to you or I that is said to be set on fire by hell. Okay? That makes your tongue very unique. It's the only body part that's set on fire by hell. And because hell doesn't waste its flames on any other of your body parts. And so apparently, when God invited the devil to ignite one and only one of our body parts, the devil gladly chose our tongue. That is significant. The reason is because the devil sees great opportunity in your tongue. He specializes in slander and lies and deceit and accusations. And your tongue is the only body part you've got that he can employ for those purposes. It's his specialty. And if he can gain your cooperation by the way that you talk, guaranteed he's going to do it. If God comes along and says, hey, devil, if you could light one of their body parts on fire, one and only one, by the fires of hell, which one would it be? Tongue. That's the one I want. If I have any control, any influence, any say whatsoever in any of their body parts, and if it was up to me and you, would be thinking, well, I can imagine a body part or two that's set on fire by hell. You're probably wrong. It's your tongue. Well, yeah, but I could do a lot of damage with my hands. Not like your tongue. Well, if I clenched them and they became fists, not like your tongue. Well, the devil would like to make good use of your tongue if you let him. All he needs is your cooperation and little carelessness, a lack of diligence, loose speaking, loose talking. But I tell you, there is somebody else in the spiritual realm who wants to make good use of your tongue. And that, of course, would be the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we read a familiar passage at the time of Pentecost there in the New Testament. It says, there came from heaven, not from hell, okay? We're not speaking about the fires of hell anymore. We're speaking from the opposite direction. There came from heaven a sound like wind. It filled the house where the disciples had gathered. Then there appeared to them tongues of fire upon each of them, And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Their speech was now controlled by a different tongue, if you will, lit on fire, not by hell, but by heaven. Oh, when the human tongue is set on fire by hell, it can corrupt your entire body, is what James said. It'll set your whole life on fire. But when it's inflamed with the holiness of heaven, it can change the world, which is exactly what happened with the men in that room who were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak on account of the power they were given. Do you understand that whoever it is that gains control over your tongue gets to decide what happens in the rest of this world and the rest of your life, that's for sure, to the other people around you and to your eternal soul. There's a lot going on in your mouth this morning, and it wasn't chewing your breakfast. There's a lot going on in there, and it has to do nothing with the taste of sugared cereal. It has to do with what will be produced in your life through speech alone. Matthew Henry, he says, the Holy Spirit once descended in tongues of fire. And where the human tongue is thus guided and wrought upon by a fire from heaven, there it kindles good thoughts, holy affections, and ardent devotions. Quite a difference from those who club and crush and stab people to death with their tongues. It's true that we can inflict a lot of damage with our words, but that does not mean in the least that we should discontinue the use of our tongue, because we can also do untold amounts of good with our tongue if we will only learn to tame it. Former U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates once said, to avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. And some of you may be tempted to take that approach in life, thinking, well, talking can get me in trouble, so I could avoid all of that if I just keep quiet all the time. But I can guarantee you this, you will only come to regret it once you finally find out in the end that because you were willing to say nothing, God used you to essentially do nothing, and therefore you ended up being nothing. Is that really what you want? You are called by God to open your mouth on behalf of Christ and bring the truth with you wherever it is that you go. God gave us a tongue for explicit reasons, and it's not to waste. We aren't meant to waste the use of what enables us to speak and communicate to our fellow man. Just like every other part of our body, our tongues are meant to be brought under control and then used according to the purpose for which it was designed. To use your body part, whatever that body part may be, for other purposes, or to use it not at all for fear of saying something wrong, is sin. We were given tongues to announce God's truth to the world. At his farewell address, the prophet Samuel said, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by not teaching you what is good and right. He recognized that to not teach God's people the truth would have been sin against God. The prophet Jeremiah understood something similar and wrote, if I decide to quit speaking about God, it burns. Oh, it's like fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. He understood that keeping quiet brought consequences. Very uncomfortable ones. And Peter and John said, we cannot stop telling everyone what we have seen and heard. We can't stop. We have to do it. We're compelled. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel." Paul believed with all of his heart that he would be judged by God if he kept quiet. Woe means judgment. I better not keep my mouth shut. Well, yeah, but what if you say something wrong? Well, you better be ready to take that risk. And you better be working all that much more diligently to learn how to tame your tongue and control your coarse jesting and curb the hard language and decide what it is that God wants you to speak so that you can communicate that to people clearly, thus pleasing God and being a good steward of the tongue that He gave you. God wants us to speak up. God wants us to speak out. You have a responsibility by virtue of the fact that you have a tongue in your mouth. And if I had you all open it up, I would see clearly that you have one. That says God wants you and will hold you accountable to what you say. And if you say nothing at all on His behalf, you will be held accountable for saying nothing at all on His behalf. You go to work and you bring the truth with you. You have a whole mouthful of life changing and character shaping truth. Go to work and open it up. The very fact that the devil has such an interest in lighting your tongue on fire proves that you and I, with our words, could light this world up with the gospel of Jesus Christ if we would only obey Him. I do believe that the devil is more threatened by what you can say with your mouth than what you can do with your hands. I don't know that we always see it that way. I think that we put way too much on what we can do with our hands and think that we're really getting some great thing done for the kingdom. You know what the devil's really upset about? You know what the devil is really intimidated by? When you actually speak the truth. He'll let you build stuff with your hands all day. Go build a church out of scratch, you know? Go and work and work and work and work and work. He doesn't really care for it, but he'd far rather you be doing that than actually sharing the truth wherever you go. You really want to serve the Lord, then tame your tongue and then open your mouth. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, you'd better be ready to explain it. You do not shy away from an opportunity like that. You jump in with both feet. Somebody wants to know about why you act like you act, why your weekend looks like it does, why you come to work on Monday morning and you're not all grumpy like everybody else, why you have hope. You better be ready with an answer. Listen, I will give you a quick 5-minute synopsis, but I'd love to take your coffee and tell you more. You game? I could talk to you all day about Jesus Christ. And I would love to talk to you all day about Jesus Christ. And God says, you'd better be ready to talk to people all day about Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, if someone asks you, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, instruct those who oppose the truth. Now, do you know anybody who opposes the truth? You ever run into somebody who opposes the truth? The answer is yes. They're everywhere. Oh, okay, because we're told here to instruct them. Do you instruct people who don't know the truth, they oppose the truth? Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered from me, go up on top of your roof with a megaphone and shout it so that the whole neighborhood can hear. I embellished a little bit. He just says, shout it from the rooftops. Do you get the idea that God wants us to speak? That the truth He imparts to us is not meant to be kept silent, but rather expressed in very unambiguous, very clear terms. We are to be communicators as Christians. We are to open our mouths bravely and boldly and go with the truth that we've been given. Jesus told his apostles in Mark 16, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He doesn't even say, go proclaim it to people. He says, the whole creation, that includes everything. Go preach the gospel to trees. Go preach the gospel to the ocean. Go preach the gospel to your coworkers. And don't leave your family out. What you do with your tongue is up to you. You don't have to answer to me. You can use your tongue to praise our Lord and Father, or you can use it to curse those who have been made in his image. It's up to you. But just know that the wisest man in human history once wrote, those who control their tongue will have a long life, but opening your mouth can bring you ruin. What you do with your tongue is up to you. People with an untamed tongue are a dime a dozen. Our culture is not doing a very good job at taming their tongue. The F word has got to be one of the most common adjectives I hear out there. Even in the professional world, it's shocking how loose we have become. It's not fitting for us to follow suit. Watch your mouth. Not only in the negative, practicing self-censorship so that you don't fall into the same patterns of speech that the world does, but also in the positive. Watch your mouth and make sure that it is pouring forth with the truth of Christ at every opportunity that God orchestrates for you. Be ready. When someone asks for a reason that you have such hope, you've got an answer. And Paul tells Timothy, be ready in season and out of season to preach, reprove, rebuke, exhort, get it out there, get the truth out there, talk. Yeah, but it could get me in trouble. Yes, it could get you in trouble. I hope it doesn't. But if you want to stay silent for the rest of your life, I do believe that that warrants a kind of trouble of its own. We can tame our tongue. We can control it. We can practice self-censorship. Don't count on the world. They're not doing it. Titus chapter 1 verse 10 says, there are many people who are full of meaningless talk and deception, and their lives show it. All right, you look around at the world whose speech is entirely corrupt. And the Bible here has already warned us about that, because not of what that kind of verbal abuse will do to the people who are forced to listen to it, but what it's doing to the ones who speak it. It's a snare to their soul. It's ruining their lives. People who are careless with words are slowly burying themselves in the consequences of saying too much and speaking too soon. And some of us, we understand the dangers of that because we've done it. But to continue doing it, knowing the harm we can suffer, is really to put all of the blame on ourselves. The rest of the world lies, they hurl insults, they curse, they belittle, they blaspheme. They're a dime a dozen. Don't be one of them. Choose instead to be a person who blesses with the words that we use. Let's bless people. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 13 says, kings are pleased with people who speak honestly. If kings are pleased with people who speak honestly, how much more so your neighbors? The people that you commune with out there, the coworkers and the family and the people you run into, be honest. Be honest. Do you know that honest people are a rare breed nowadays? I mean, you get somebody who's willing to be honest with you, that's like a breath of fresh air. Lying? Hey, that's the norm. That is the norm. Do you turn on political television? Do you watch the news? It's like, I don't even know if I can believe the meteorologist anymore. Now, I'm so skeptical of everything that people say and everything that's published and everything that I hear. It's like, you know, good grief, you know. It's a really inopportune time for a pandemic to show up because I don't know which reports to believe. Is this a threat or is it not a threat? Everyone's a liar. All of mankind is a liar. God is true, but every man is a liar. That's all I know. That much is true. People lie. Don't expect the truth from anybody anymore. I hate to say it, but you can almost count on them lying to you and deceiving you and misleading you, but you don't need to fall into that same pattern. You can be a breath of fresh air simply by speaking truth 100% of the time. Be honest. A wholesome tongue is spoken of in Scripture as a tree of life. It's described as sterling silver. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. In Proverbs 12, it tells us that the tongue of the wise brings health. You can speak in such a way that you impart life and health to the people who hear you, not to mention yourself. Ah, but what you do with your tongue is up to you. The tongue is a muscular organ within the mouth, which aids the body in digesting food, enjoying flavors, and most importantly, speaking. The tongue can bring life or death, according to Proverbs 18:21, and those who love to talk are going to reap the consequences. So, thanks to the tongue, we can express rage and hatred in 6,500 different languages just as easily and unmuddled as we can extend love and gratitude in 6,500 languages. But what you do with your tongue is up to you. Father, this morning we pray for an extra helping of care when it comes to deciding what words we allow to escape from the trap that we come to know of as our mouth. Knowing that behind the locked cage of my teeth lies a very devilish animal, if you will, that is able to destroy anyone who is unfortunate enough to get in its way should I open that cage. But like any other animal, it can be tamed. And we can learn to speak things that build people up and heal people's wounds and do great good in this world, which will only bring health and healing to our own soul and our own bones. We pray, Father, that we would learn the art, not of free speech, but of careful speech. Not of saying whatever we want, wherever we want, to whomever we want, under the illusion that we can do so without consequences, but rather that we learn to tame our tongue and practice self-censorship, that we might please you with the way that we communicate, that we might be more like you, who is the perfect communicator, never speaking a lie, an unclear word. May we have a ready answer when a ready answer is needed. May we share the truth, whether it's in season or out of season. And may we, as David said in Psalm 141, verse 3, relinquish control of what we say, that you, Lord, may take control of the words we choose. O Lord, David says, guard my lips. Thank you, Lord, for our time of learning. We pray that this would sink deep into our hearts, that our tongues might be brought under control, that we would remain silent when we've got nothing good to say and speak out, knowing that the truth we have is worth hearing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.